Monday night. Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Football Today podcast brought to you by Squarespace. And Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform. As you know, it's Squarespace 7. Try it out right now. It has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. Try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com. Enter offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. Just about done with week 16. Two games left. We got the Seahawks game tonight. We got the Broncos-Bengals. That's the Cardinals fans are going to be mad. We have the Seahawks-Cardinals game tonight.
What did you say?
I just said the Seahawks game.
Oh.
Bengals-Broncos tomorrow night. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard is writing a recap, so it's a two-man show. All right, give me your Colts stat. It was good stuff, I heard you say.
Andrew Luck, Dante Moncrief, Dan Heron, Dwayne Allen, and Kobe Fleener combined for 6 fantasy points.
That's just terrible. That's just
I guess
terrible.
If you throw Vinatieri in there, they combined for 7.
Eesh. And they got shellacked by the Cowboys today. A very convincing win. So we're done with week 16. Jamie won a championship today.
Yep.
He's advanced to a championship in week 17.
I don't know yet. I'm waiting to see what happens.
I have faith in you.
Yeah. Well, Peyton Manning can ruin it for me.
How many points?
I think I'm up like 20-something.
Oh, he never gets that anymore. and we'll go through the games and kind of the themes from this week. So first thing for you.
And you advanced.
I did advance.
Yes, you're in a Week 17 championship.
Week 17.
Yes.
Bring it on.
Dave, I believe, did not follow the CBSSports.com start of the week.
Uh-oh.
He benched Trey Mason for Dante Moncrief. He was not a Mason believer, as people who listen to our show were aware. So he started Moncrief with the Hilton news over Mason. Had he started Mason, he would have already won.
Really?
Yes.
Can he still win?
Yeah, he still has Jeremy Hill to go. But it would have already been locked up. He's down a little bit, but he's probably...
You know, and I kind of remember him saying he was down big, right? And he wanted to go for a home run. He said, would you start Moncrief or Mason if you needed a home run?
Right. And I told him Moncrief.
And that's why I don't believe in that philosophy.
What do you mean?
I think you start the better guy... No
well, we thought Moncrief was going to play well, though.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody expected this.
But unless you're talking about, like, a guy who is,
Hilton, at best, like eight
fantasy points,
right.
You know, I think you start the guy that you think is better, because you don't know how the rest of it's going to turn out. You don't know how your other guys are going to do, his other guys are going to do. But whatever. Here's what I want to start with. We've had some high-profile duds from the best quarterbacks in fantasy over the last 3 weeks. Peyton Manning. Aaron Rodgers, who wasn't really that good today either.
2 weeks in a row, yep.
Andrew Luck, obviously awful this week.
And last week was mediocre.
Yeah, disappointing. Lessons learned or fluky stuff?
Well, I mean, you know where I come out on this.
I know where you come out with it. Does it bolster your argument, or do you think it was just kind of... Because if in case you don't know, Jamie is not a taken quarterback early guy. He likes to wait. But do you think it was just kind of like... Gosh, there's no way we could have predicted that. Totally fluky.
Well, no. If you look at our rankings, there's no way we thought that these guys were going to struggle to this level. I mean, you know, we have of course, this will be when Peyton Manning goes crazy. But I think, you know, if it just depends on the type of person you are. Look, people like to have Rodgers locked in, Breeze locked in, Peyton locked in, and say, okay, I'll sink or swim with them, and most of the times you're going to swim. You know, so... It just comes down to what your trust level is. Look, nobody would have started Colin Kaepernick this week. But we said, look at Sanchez. Rivers was terrible. Eli was bad on the road prior to today. You know, so there was a lot of, you know, fluky performances to counteract the good guys who struggled. I think it just comes down to, look, next year you have to say there's going to be a lot of good quarterbacks again. And there's going to be a lot of mediocre ones again. And so it's either you're pairing two mediocre guys – or taking one of the better guys. But, you know, I think a lot of people overlooked Roethlisberger.
Sure.
This year. Now, he didn't have a great game today, but he's been good. Everybody overlooked Romo.
Yeah, Roethlisberger, 14 fantasy points. That's 2 weeks in a row where
he played
pretty
well. But, right.
I mean, last week he had a huge game in terms of passing yards, but didn't...
No touchdown.
Didn't score. Right. 2 weeks in a row with no passing. Oh, no, he had one this week.
Yep.
So, again, you know, Matt Ryan, 18 fantasy points, thought he'd have a huge game. Drew Brees was bad. Uh-huh. Yeah, we kind of forgot about Drew Brees. Drew Brees had a really bad fantasy game. 12
fantasy points.
Well,
just to put, you know, here's another fun stat for you, that Jimmy Clausen with 17 fantasy points was better than Brees, not combined, but individually, better than Brees, better than Rodgers, better than Brady, better than Stafford.
And Luck.
And better than Luck.
Mm-hmm. And Flacco.
And Flacco. Yes.
All right, so not a great day for the quarterbacks that you expected from. Ryan Tannehill, most fantasy points this week with 37. Tony Romo, 34. Eli, 33. Rivers, 32. And Kaepernick, 29. Kyle Orton, 27. Took advantage of a good matchup against Oakland. And if Peyton Manning can't do it next week against Oakland, that'd be pretty disappointing. Cam Newton had a nice game.
Yeah,
24
he was great.
Fantasy points.
He ran the ball.
He ran 63 yards and a touchdown. Running backs, Frank Gore. Now, where did you rank Frank Gore when we learned yesterday that he was going to play?
I don't know where it came out, but it was 23 or 24.
Who saw this coming? 26 carries, 158 yards, and a touchdown.
I told Dave that it was between him and Latavius Murray, and I liked him better than Murray initially, and then I think I moved Murray ahead of him.
Well, I on a separate note, Murray didn't have a huge fantasy day. He had 10 fantasy points, but I really like him every time I see him.
Yeah.
He looks really good. He's
yep.
kind of tall. He's big. He's fast. And he makes big plays. Matt Asiata was your number two running back with Lamar Miller. I mean, who the heck saw the Dolphins game being that?
Shoot up?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Miller played great. Most touches for the season, most carries for the season. This is now 2 weeks in a row where he's increased his carry total, so they're giving him the work. You got to like his opportunity next week against the Jets if Wilkerson is, you know, less than 100%. He looked good today, so I would assume you'll be a little bit nervous about Miller, but 5 catches, 58 yards, that's big for him.
And it looks like the good running backs pretty much delivered today. There are obviously always exceptions, but the running backs are good.
Think about coming into the week where we didn't know what to expect from Gore. Alfred Morris had been a dud, but he gets RG3 back. He plays well. Then you get McCoy,
mm-hmm.
one of his better performances. Most catches, I think, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, 3 for 28. Forte was able to get the receiving touchdown, so he did well against a tough Lions defense.
Yeah.
But then the guys that we were hoping for, Joyke Bell played well. John Stewart was awesome. Trey Mason was good. And then...
Well, Arian Foster.
Arian Foster was good.
Tough matchup. He threw a touchdown.
Yep.
Forsett was a dud. Came through.
Forsett was a dud.
Yeah, he was.
Unfortunately. Murray, you know, despite the hand, got you a touchdown, so that was good.
I feel like an idiot right now because I kind of skipped over Jamal Charles, but he was horrible. He had 4 fantasy points.
He's the only one, really, of the upper echelon guys.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell. I thought Le'Veon Bell would have a huge game. He had a good game. 20 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown, only one catch.
Mm-hmm.
But running backs pretty much did what you wanted them to do. And then we keep talking about Odell Beckham. Where are we going to take number one running back this week, or wide receiver? In fact, the Giants have the numbers 1 and 2 wide receiver going into the Sunday night game with Reuben Randall and Odell Beckham. Beckham won. Where's he going next year?
You just had 2 separate conversations about this with Beckham. He's in the discussion and, you know, maybe at the top of the list. You know, it's hard to say because you don't want to overreact to one season where there's not a lot of tape on him. And think what happened to Josh Gordon. Now, Josh Gordon went through a suspension. He went through a litany of quarterbacks changes from last year to this year and a system change. So that's not going to happen to Beckham. I'm talking about a guy that came from nowhere to be, you know, we thought Josh Gordon was the number 2 receiver before the suspension when the year started, when we did our rankings last year.
But Gordon, okay, this is Gordon's 3rd year, right?
This was last Gordon's year, 3rd year.
Right. So I actually think if you look at Gordon and the way he was able to follow up his promising rookie year to be the number 1 or number 2 wide receiver.
Yeah, he wasn't this good as a rookie by any stretch.
Right, right. But you can identify the talent,
right.
Say, this guy's legit, he's going to be good, and he was great last
year. The problem for Beckham will be unrealistic expectations and Victor Cruz. Because when Cruz comes back, there's going to be a target shift. Not to the level that they're going to go away from Beckham or Eli's going to go away from Beckham. But Eli right now is just peppering Beckham with targets.
I mean, it's
great. But it's just not sustainable. And teams will start to, you know, shift coverage towards him and do a little bit different things. Surprisingly, that's not happening now.
And they have no running game. If they get a better running game, that could also affect
him. I mean, a healthy Rashad Jennings next year changes that. But, I mean, look at his target. I don't know what he had today. But going back, starting in week 9, because their bye was week 8, 11 targets, 9 targets, 13 targets, 11 targets, 8 targets, 15 targets, 15 targets, and say he had to be over 10.
12.
12. So
148 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Right. So I would say that right now you have to look at Beckham, and to me, Antonio Brown is number 1. I'm not moving from that. Then it's a toss-up on who's 2, really, because Calvin's in the discussion, Julio, Dez, Demarius, and Beckham. And I would put them all ahead of A.J. Green.
Why?
I just think that AJ Green's a little with Dalton. He hurts him.
Yeah.
You know, but Green's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. You'll be happy to get AJ Green next year.
Did you say Jordy?
Excuse me. I did not say Jordy. Jordy should definitely be in that group as well. Jordy may be number two because he's so good. I think, you know, you can, and this is why I wouldn't take a receiver probably before 7 or 8 overall. And I know that probably sounds surprising because they're so safe and so good, but we're starting to put together our top 12. We might do it on Tuesday. Maybe that'll be something we could tease. Or if not by Tuesday, we'll do it without you. But I know you probably want to be a part of this.
No, you can do that, man.
It's right now, Le'Veon Bell is number one for me. I don't know if Lacy or DeMarco is two because I'm concerned about DeMarco's workload plus if he's going to be there next year. But let's assume that he's back there. I'd probably go Lacy two, DeMarco three. Gronk is four. And then I think it's McCoy or Charles, vice versa, 4 or 5. I think McCoy will have a big bounce back season next year with a better quarterback. And Charles is still obviously very good. Lynch is a wild card because I don't know where he'll be. I don't think he'll be in Seattle. But then that's where I think the receivers start to come. Oh, I'm sorry. And I'd put Forte there too. Then I think it's the receivers start to come into play at the end of that spot.
Well, let's talk about
and Graham
playing for week 17 and go through the games here. All right, so who are some of the hot waiver wire guys?
Well, I think if you're looking at it from a quarterback perspective, Bridgewater is somebody you got to consider because of the matchup against the Bears, and he's played very well.
You going back to Tannehill against the Jets? He disappointed us so badly in that Monday night game at the Jets.
He did, but I don't think that the Jets will have the same success running the ball because since that game they haven't been able to run as well. And so it'll probably be a little bit more of a competitive situation. Where the Dolphins have the ball a little bit more. Tannehill is in the conversation if he's still available to you. Outside of that, though, I don't know how there's anybody that I would trust because you're not going to start Alex Smith against the Chargers even though they're at home. I don't think you want to start.
What about Mark Sanchez or Eli Manning?
If he's available to you, either of those guys available to you, Eli's a must
next
week against the Eagles. Their defense is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So quarterback's not exactly great. Running backs, if Asiata's still available, you got to look at him and say he should play well. Once again, it's Chicago. So we know McKinnon's not going to be there. Devontae Freeman may be the starter because Steven Jackson got hurt. So if that's the case, you could look at him and say should be very good or at least have the chance. Now, I don't know, very good. I shouldn't say that because they're facing the Panthers. So he has the opportunity to get some work and potentially play well. I'm going to be curious to see which teams are going to start resting guys because I think what happens is, and you may know this, if the Bengals lose, can the Steelers catch the Colts? I guess they could.
I'll take a look. Could the Steelers catch the Colts? I don't see why not.
They already have head-to-head on them.
Let me take a look. First of all, let me just say this. If you are playing in Week 17 and you own any Patriots, you are the biggest Broncos fan in the world right now. Because if the Broncos lose tomorrow night, the Patriots have nothing to play for in Week 17.
I'm going to give you the flip side of that. I would actually hope that that's the scenario. Because you don't want to play Tom Brady next week.
But if you have Gronkowski, though.
He's the one. That's a fair point.
Edelman, if he's
the
healthy
one. But, Brady's been bad.
Yeah, Brady really, you're right about Brady against the Bills. The
and Buffalo's played
killers.
Well.
All right, so the Colts.
Although Buffalo now has nothing to play for, so that's a little bit of a situation.
Yeah, I was thinking this. The Steelers and the Colts have the same record.
So then the Steelers would be the 3 seed right now. So the Colts have something to play for.
I think most teams have a lot to play for, or at least something to play for next week, assuming the Broncos win. Now, if the Broncos lose, they're still going to have something to play for. The Broncos lose, they'd
be... So would the Patriots, then.
No.
Because they'd be locked into the 1 seed?
I'm almost positive. The Patriots are 12-3. If the Broncos lose, they're 11-4.
Yep.
And they have head-to-head over Cincinnati as well. And Cincinnati is a tie. So, yes. Patriots owners, if you want to start...
The thing you have to keep an eye on, though, is the teams that got eliminated today. So, like the Saints, are they going to play all their guys, especially Jimmy Graham, now that he's banged up?
Mm-hmm.
He may be a guy you don't have the option to use.
Any other wide receivers?
The Eagles are eliminated, right?
Yeah.
So McCoy may not play. Who knows?
Any other players opt for waivers? Wide receivers, tight ends? And what about Jordan Taubman, by the way? I don't know what Gerhardt's status
is. Yeah, Gerhardt has a rib injury. It's something to keep an eye on. They're facing Houston, though, and we just saw what Houston did to Justin Forsett.
Yeah, I would imagine Jordan Cameron's available in some leagues.
Three catches for 88 yards.
Want to fall into that trap.
Yeah, don't.
How about Zach Ertz against the Giants, who are just miserable against tight ends?
Yeah, they gave up a touchdown to Lance Kendricks today.
Yeah,
That's somebody you could look at, certainly. But, you know, the minute we go back to one guy, it's the other guy. in terms of Brent Celek steps up.
Holy crap, Jamie. Sorry. How many tight ends in standard scoring leagues scored 9 fantasy points or more?
A lot, I guess.
11.
Oh, that's a record. It might be.
That's amazing. Jimmy Graham was barely a top 12 tight end with 6 catches for 53 yards.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list now. You had Deion Sims, Jeff Cumberland, Lance Kendricks. All these guys had 30 or more yards receiving. Chandler. That was a good call by Dave. He was pumping him up this
week. Cool.
Charles Clay, what a good comeback game for him.
And Dwayne Allen. Good job. You want to go through the games?
Dwayne Allen. Sure.
All right, let's go to the Dolphins and the Vikings. Before we do that, I want to remind everyone, today's podcast brought to you by Squarespace. I'm only going to be yelling at you about Squarespace for another week, so go on there and try it out right now. It's got a new interface, Squarespace 7. You got the integration with Google Apps and Getty Images, 15 new templates, cover pages, and the customer support. If you run into any trouble, the customer support is 24/7, and it's really good, really effective. Squarespace starts at $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year, and your device is going to, or your, excuse me, your website's going to look great on every device every time. Tablet, computer, phone, whatevs. Start a free trial, no credit card required, and build your website right now. Today, use the offer code FUN. You'll get 10% off and you'll be supporting our podcast and Squarespace. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. Ryan Tannehill, huge game, his first 4 touchdown game. Teddy Bridgewater's getting better and better. He threw for 259 and 2 with an interception, but on only 26 attempts. And Asiata is a very annoying player for me, Jamie, because he's the kind of guy I never want to trust because he's not very good per carry. You just have to hope he gets in the end zone. He did it twice in this game, and I think he had a 2-point conversion, too.
I believe he did.
Let me double-check on that. This is not going to tell me, is it? Yes, he did.
He's got 10 catches in the last 2 games. So he's been, you know, serviceable. Look, he's all they have right now. They're not trusting Ben Tate very much. Ben Tate had no carries. So, yeah. I mean, next week he gets the Bears.
Joe Banyard had 5, but yes, to your point, that's pretty much all they got. Now, for the Dolphins, I don't know why it took them so long to get Lamar Miller involved in the passing game. But, you know, Clay, Mike Wallace, big games. You care? Next week they get the Jets. Good matchup for both those guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could look at Wallace and start him. I don't see why not. He's been better more times than not this season. You know, he's had a really good year. Landry was a little bit of a disappointment. 8 catches for 31 yards.
Oh, weird.
So, you know, I think you kind of know what you – the thing in Week 17 is you know what your team is at this point. So if Wallace is your guy, you're starting.
Now, you know who I think is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, right?
Russell Wilson?
No. Matthew Stafford.
Jay Cutler?
Matthew Stafford. Well, Cutler, not anymore. He's not overrated. He's not rated. Stafford was terrible. The numbers probably, in my opinion, don't indicate how poorly he played, in my opinion. I think he had 5 fantasy points.
Sounds right.
Do you trust him at the Packers next week? Because I don't.
I think you have to, though.
I have to start him. It's either him or Sanchez, and I'm not starting Sanchez.
Yeah, I don't see why Stafford can't have a good game. If you fear the outdoor thing.
I know Matt Ryan did it, but quarterbacks going into Lambeau hadn't really done well.
I just wonder if they were looking ahead.
The Lions?
The Lions. I mean, next week's game is their season. I know they're going to the playoffs, but if they don't have a home game, they're not winning anything in the playoffs.
I think they could go to Atlanta or Carolina and win.
Well, they certainly could. I mean, they go anywhere and win. But they're a different team at home.
I don't think they could go to Dallas and win. I don't think they would. They could. I don't think they would go to Dallas and win.
Probably
Assuming
not.
Assuming Dallas gets the 3, so Dallas might get the 2.
I just wonder if they were looking ahead.
Could be.
And they're not going to be sitting on a lead next week. So he's going to be throwing the ball a lot.
So what do we know about the Bears with Jimmy Clausen as their quarterback in terms of really Forte, Jeffrey, and Martellus Bennett, who had 1 catch for no yards.
Yeah, another tight end dud outside of Dwayne Allen. So I think you look at it next week, they should be able to put up points against Minnesota. You know, so Clausen, you could feel okay, not starting him, but starting Jeffrey and starting Forte.
All right, moving on to Baltimore and Houston, 25-13, Houston over Baltimore. This was such a pathetic performance. And I hope you had Randy Bullock in FanDuel because he had 6 field goals. Jeez, he had 6 field goals in this game. Yeah, sorry, people. I'm going through some of these box scores for the first time. Flacco was horrible, but Torrey Smith caught 2 touchdowns. 5 catches, 59 yards, 2 touchdowns on 12 targets.
We thought that having Torrey Smith back would help Flacco play well, that Gary Kubiak going back to a defense that he's familiar with would help him play well. So Torrey played great. Flacco got the two touchdowns to him. I think at one point, wasn't he 3 for 20? Flacco
in
the first
half. I don't know if he's that bad. But
it was something along those lines.
I think it was 3 for 18, maybe.
Okay.
And I don't know if it ended up being that.
So he was bad. And, you know, you look at Forsett. He got a little banged up in the game, but 10 carries for 19 yards is now two duds in a row for him. Next week it's Cleveland. He should have a monster game. They're fighting for their playoff lives in that game, so I think Forsett should play well. But
You said it was two bad games in a row?
A lot of people are going to have some trepidation with him.
Yeah, and last week it was Jacksonville.
Right.
And now I think what we learned about Baltimore without Haloti Ngata, on a per-carry basis, actually did a pretty good job against Foster today on a per-carry basis, 3.8 yards per carry.
But they sold out to stop the run, though.
Yeah, you can run on them now. Like, the previous two games, nobody had a huge game. Lamar Miller didn't have a huge game, and the Jacksonville guys didn't have a huge game. But they did well per carry.
Yep.
So I don't think anybody really wants to trust Isaiah Crowell, but if you have to, it's not a brutal matchup. DeAndre Hopkins had a bad game. He had 12 targets, 5 catches, 38 yards. Andre Johnson led Houston receivers with 6 for 65.
Yep. This was a great matchup for them, but the quarterback situation is bad. I mean, Case Keenum's not good. So next week they get Jacksonville. You can maybe buy into starting these guys again, but Jacksonville secondary, as we've seen, is playing much better. So I would probably stay away from both Hopkins and Andre Johnson, and I think Foster should have, a good close to the season. They've played great. You know, kudos to Bill O'Brien and this team to keep them in playoff contention. Yeah. I don't think they're going to get in because of some tiebreakers, but they're there. You know, they're 8-7. They have a shot to get in.
Carolina won 17-13 over Cleveland, and they had the ball for over 38 minutes. And Brian Hoyer came in for an injured Johnny Manziel. Manziel was 3 of 8 for 32 yards. Hoyer, 7 of 13, 134, and a touchdown with an interception as well. He was sacked 3 times. Any takeaways from Carolina-Cleveland?
Well, I was wrong on Fantasy Football Today this morning. I said that I would start everyone over Johnny Manziel. He was better than Andrew Luck.
He was better than Andrew Luck? How many points did Luck score?
0.
Oh, gosh. And Manziel had what, 1?
I think so.
Yeah, he did. He had 1. Oh, that's pathetic. Andrew Luck. That's just so unlikely. That didn't even make sense.
No.
You know, it wasn't like he played a really tough opponent.
He led a lot of people to the fantasy playoffs and championship, and then a 0. But in terms of the Browns, I mean, this is the fear. You know, thankfully, Jordan Cameron came through, but Josh Gordon was a disaster again.
Gordon was bad, but at least his one good game was with Hoyer. So do you think you maybe could go back to him if Hoyer starts next week?
Against Baltimore?
Yeah.
No. If you got to this point, you can't trust Josh Gordon.
How about Jonathan Stewart? Must start at Atlanta?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, Atlanta's run defense has not been great all year long. They gave up a rushing touchdown to Mark Ingram. He's their guy. Going to catch the ball a little bit. You know, he hasn't done that really as the featured guy. 2 catches this week. I think he had none last week. But, we'll see if they're chasing points. That's going to be a fun game. I mean, with two teams, you throw out the records because they're playing much better than their records indicate right now. So I think whoever wins the game deserves to be in the playoffs, clearly by default because of how bad the division has been. But in terms of just playing well, they're both playing well, Carolina and Atlanta.
My oh my, did Steven Jackson have a horrible game as we look at Atlanta?
He got hurt too.
Yeah, he did. But he had 4 carries for 9 yards and one catch for 14 yards before he left. And Atlanta went on the road and won 30-14. It didn't matter. Kind of just, I almost feel bad for Matt Ryan owners. He deserved a better fantasy day than those 18 fantasy points. He just only threw 1 touchdown. It was to Eric Weems.
He could have had one to Harry Douglas. Looked like Douglas gave up on the route a little bit. Maybe didn't see where the ball was. Look, Matt Ryan's been playing great. It's hard to fault him. He's helped a lot of people get back to, fantasy, to playoff contention and then into the playoffs and maybe championship.
I think you can be relatively happy with what you got from Marcus Colston. 6 catches for 80 yards. Jimmy Graham caught a touchdown. He had 10 targets. He had 6 catches. And
should have had 2 touchdowns.
If you were watching him, yeah, it was close. Right, and actually that was an 8-point swing because he fumbled on that play.
Yep.
If you were watching him, it's very obvious he's being hampered by his shoulder.
And he may not play now. They're out of it.
That's a good point. Who would that benefit? Colston, Stills, mostly?
Or maybe Ben Watson or Josh Hill. I don't think you're going to start anybody differently. You look at Colston and you look at Stills. But for Atlanta, Julio Jones played, and played relatively well. So I think you could feel comfortable starting him next week.
I'm at the point with Ingram, it's almost like Asiata. You know, he's not as much of a plotter as Asiata, and he gets more work. But I see it week after week where he's not that good. I don't think it's him. I think it's his offensive line.
Yeah,
stink.
Sure.
But he had 38 yards on 13 carries and got lucky, scored a one-yard
right.
touchdown.
I mean, you were trying to, you know, and I should have probably listened to you as well, to get in our heads about the garbage time touchdown. Now, I didn't buy into as much as Dave did that Ingram was going to take advantage of this matchup because Le'Veon Bell crushed the Falcons the week before.
Oh, last week's garbage time touchdown.
Yeah, against the Bears. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But, you know, you look at where Ingram is. Yeah, it's hasn't been pretty. I think he'll play next week. He's playing for a contract. I imagine he'll have a good game.
Yeah, look, he still gets opportunity. He's not as good as he could be because their offensive line is awful.
Right. I think he's going to go out with a bang. I think next week he's going to have a big game.
Green Bay has not had a huge explosion game since the Atlanta game, the Monday night game, because they've been on the road. They won 20-3. And
could have been so much worse.
They had a lot of yards. I mean, 431 yeah. total yards. But, you know, just right. Could have been bigger. So next week I think they're going to go nuts.
They should because they're at home. Now, Detroit really frustrated them the last time these mm-hmm. two teams met. But Rodgers in that building is such a different player. Not that he's a bad player on the road, but he's, you know, there's just like typically what happens when good players are at home. So he's going to be awesome. Jordy will be awesome. Cobb will be awesome. The question will be Lacy. I mean, I'm not benching Eddie Lacy. He's going to be in my top 10. You saw what Forte was able to do catching the ball in the backfield. He's just such a special talent. Now, he was a little bit nicked up in this game, but he was able to, you know, gut it out. But he's got the hip problem, the eye problem. He's been battling some injuries. You have to wonder, do they start to maybe give him a little bit less work?
I was surprised that he had 17 carries today. Starks had 7, so could have been more for Lacy. But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's a little nerve-wracking to go into Week 17 and have Eddie Lacy be playing against one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Also, if you own Trey Mason, he's facing Seattle. So
that's he could have had another touchdown. They gave mm-hmm. John Kuhn a fourth and goal carry. Give it to your best player. Your best
yeah,
running
Lacy's
back.
Just been so good. For Tampa Bay, Doug Martin, 10 carries, 17 yards. And actually, I think the biggest takeaway there for me is, again, Green Bay's run defense since their bye week, I believe. Whenever they move Clay Matthews inside, they've been so good.
Yep.
Since that point, I mean, I don't even know if this stat exists out there, but I'm sure they have one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So, Drick Bell, what do you think?
I think he's like a lesser version of Lacy, you know, just because he's been able to do so many different things. He had 3 catches today. So this would now be 12 over the last 3 weeks. So I think he's still a number 2 running back. He's just not a slam dunk. Like he was a top 5 guy for me this week. So he didn't live up to the expectations, but I think it's hard to get away from him just because of his potential.
Starter sit Mike Evans.
Next week against the Saints, number 2 receiver. He's been a disappointment though. Last 5 games he's been under 50 yards receiving.
Yeah, I think a lot of people was between him and Beckham for a lot of people for rookie of the year.
Not close,
I think it's a no-brainer
yeah.
now. Steelers 20, Chiefs 12, and look, Roethlisberger faced a very good pass defense, one of the best in the NFL. He only threw for 220 yards, but
his
no
worst
picks,
game at home.
And 1 touchdown. I think the Chiefs defense played very well, but I think the disappointing thing was that Alex Smith wasn't able to throw touchdowns. He threw for over 300 yards,
yep.
but he didn't have that big game because they couldn't score.
He was sacked 6 times.
Wow. That'll
really
do it. And what do you think about Albert Wilson? Dave kind of talked about him.
He played great.
Yeah, so 5 catches, 87 yards. Actually led all receivers in yards. Antonio Brown had a touchdown, but that's it. Is he somebody worth looking at?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, again, it's week 17. How many people need somebody that they're going to consider starting? But 1 week leagues, his price will probably be reasonable. For sure.
Okay. And Dwayne Bowe almost caught a touchdown, but still threw 15 games, no touchdowns.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. Has it ever happened before?
I don't know.
I can't imagine it has. Patriots 17, at least like not since like the 50s.
Right.
Patriots 17, Jets 16. The Jets always seem to play the Patriots offense tough. Yeah, they don't always put up points or anything, but they coming into the game, it was something like the Patriots are averaging like 22 points a game against the Jets over the last X amount of games or whatever. They just play the Patriots tough, and it happened again in this one.
They did, yeah. I mean, you know, getting Wilkerson back was big for them. Not having Edelman was big for the Patriots, or, you know, bad for the Patriots. Not having Blunt was bad for them. They couldn't really do anything, you know. So Brady's been struggling. You know, 35 pass attempts against the secondary, you would have thought big game. LaFell played okay, 7 for 64. Gronk was, you know, scored a touchdown, but outside of that, you know, 6 for 31. How many times does he average 5 yards a catch? You know, so Amendola did a nice job in PPR league, stepping up for Edelman. 8 catches for 63 yards. Vereen was terrible. Gray, you know, people bought into starting him. 6 carries, 5 yards, scored a touchdown. So it was.
Yeah, okay. So let's say Blunt misses next week's game against Buffalo. How are you going to approach those running backs? Is Gray a guy to go get?
Yeah, I mean, flex for 6 points. That's what you're hoping for.
Vereen was available in our podcast league for the championship, which was a 14-team PPR league. I don't know if he was started or not, but he did not deliver.
No.
38 rushing yards, and he only had one catch.
You used him in FanDuel. He was cheap, yeah. He was cheap, 5,500.
I used LaFell in FanDuel, and I used Gronkowski. I thought the Patriots' offense would do better than this. LaFell had a fine game, 7 catches for 64 yards, right, when you consider that's a third of Tom Brady's passing yards.
Yep.
It just didn't have that many yards.
He was also sacked 4 times. That's, I can't remember the last time that happened.
Yeah, no, their line played very, very poorly. Thought the
Jets
were going to win.
They're missing some guys. We're missing one guy. Dan Conley's missing.
And Geno Smith, I think, threw a late interception, you know, per usual. All right. Let's go to our next game. And that's going to be the Giants and the Rams. Odell Beckham's really good. 37-27 was the final score. And he's making Eli Manning really good for fantasy owners, too.
Eli was fantastic today.
This stat line is tremendous. 25 for 32, 391 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and only 1 sack for the St. Louis Rams on Eli Manning. So the kudos goes to the offensive line as well. How the hell did Andre Williams end up with 26 carries for 110 yards?
He had a 45-yard run. That's what I was trying to point out to you.
He ran
over somebody for the Rams and just kept chugging along.
If you had told me that he had a 45-yard run, I would have said, oh, so he had 50 yards?
And he lost a touchdown to Darkwa.
Yeah, Orleans Darkwa. Don't bother picking him up.
No.
Thoughts on this game? I mean, Ruben Randle had a big one. Ruben Randle has a history of destroying the Eagles in the last game of the season, right? Is that 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it probably helped him when Preston Parker got tossed from the game for throwing a punch.
Yeah.
Because that's been a guy that's been taking targets away from him. But look, take Beckham out of the equation. Put in Victor Cruz. This is what the Giants were hoping for.
Yeah.
A big number one receiver and Randle to fill that number two spot. Not 6 for 132 consistently, but look, he played great. They did another good job, you know, in terms of limiting the tight end production. The Rams did. Larry Donnell was, you know, struggling again, 4 for 42. I think Eli Manning's going to go off next week against the Eagles at home. Something similar to this.
Just got to watch the weather, but assuming it's not horribly windy, yeah.
Yeah.
Trey Mason. Yeah, you know, one more thing about that. I know RG3 didn't put up a good number.
He threw the ball very well.
Played very well. He just didn't score the touchdowns.
Yep.
Trey Mason, 13 carries, 76 yards, and a touchdown start of the week. Nice call.
Yeah, he played well. I didn't think the score was going to be like this. You know, when I saw 10-0 early in the game, I was like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. And then, you know, 13-3, 20-3, I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. But they gave him the touchdown in the second quarter. Nice run. He ran well. You know, clearly that's a good average, 5.8 yards per carry, and one catch for 7 yards on one target. Had the game gone at least the way I thought it was going to be, with them ahead, Giants chasing points, he would have had probably 20 carries, probably would have had close to 100 yards, probably would have had a huge day.
Kyle Orton, as we go to the Bills and the Raiders, with the Raiders getting the win, and the final score of this one was 26-24. Bills got a late touchdown from Robert Woods. But Kyle Orton is alternating like great weeks and horrible weeks.
Yep.
22, then 9, then 22, then 4, then 27 fantasy points. What about against the Patriots? He had 21 fantasy points against the Patriots in week 6.
Do you start him if you're Buffalo?
Why wouldn't you?
You're eliminated. You go to EJ Manuel just to give him a shot?
I wouldn't. I think Orton's earned it, but it's an interesting thought.
I just wonder what they'll do.
New England's defense is playing very well.
Yeah,
right
I'm not
now.
Starting Kyle Orton. No, I wouldn't give him much credit.
And as much as I like Latavius Murray, Broncos have been very good against the run all year. So how about Fred Jackson?
They're missing two linebackers, though. You got to see what happens.
Let's see what happens tonight. Or tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Fred Jackson, horrible game running, 6 for 10, but he had 9 for 93 receiving. I know a lot of it was late. He had a big, long one on the Well, they had a drive when they were down by 9, scored on the Woods touchdown. Then they had an onside kick. I'm assuming they didn't recover it.
Did not.
So on their last drive, Jackson had a lot of that. But hard to get away from him in PPR, right?
Yeah, he's had, I think, every game or like a significant stretch. I had in start set, I don't remember, 3 catches in every game. 2 of his last 3, he's had 9 catches. So 2 games ago, he had 10. So, yeah, he's just been, you know, very easy dump-off target for Kyle Orton. So I think you start him if he plays. You know, this is another guy, 33 years old. They play in a meaningless Week 16 game. I imagine he wants to play because he probably doesn't have many games left. But C.J. Spiller's back. Do they give him more work? He had 4 carries for minus 4 yards. So it's going to be tough to say Fred Jackson's a must-start guy. He has a very good history against New England, though. Typically plays well against them.
I want to see one thing here. Orton, I don't remember what happened in Week 12 against the Jets. I think just played the Jets. But the last 2 big games he had, Week 14 against Denver.
Comebacks.
Exactly. Exactly. Late fantasy points.
Right. This was Dave and I were talking about Orton this week that we didn't really love him. And we kind of both talked each other off of Sammy Watkins because Watkins, last time he played well, was in that Broncos game when they were chasing points. And we didn't think they'd be chasing points. Mm. So that was the thought of why Orton wouldn't play well.
Spiller had a terrible game. He fumbled, too. He recovered it, but he had 4 carries, -4, as you said. He also had 4 catches for 14 yards.
How about Derek Carr doing better than both Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers against the Bills?
Carr had a pathetic first half. He was 6 of 18. And then, do some quick math here, he went 11 for 16 in the second half. So he finished strong. Good for him. Last game to talk about from today, the whipping, 42-7, Dallas over the Colts. Whew. And seriously, when you talk about most valuable fantasy player based on ADP, Tony Romo's got to be up there.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. One of my prediction pieces from the beginning of the season was Tony Romo will be the most valuable quarterback based on where he's drafted.
Right.
And he has been. I mean, you know, you think about he was like a 7th-round pick. He's just delivered. Almost every week. You know, you take out the game where he got hurt and then the game that he missed and the short week against Philly on Thanksgiving. Other than that, and week one, awesome.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, I'm just going to take a second to look up the stats. Just going into this week, because he did it again. He threw 4 touchdowns on 20 passes.
Yep.
He throws, I think the Cowboys had like the 3rd or 4th fewest pass attempts in the NFL going into this week. So I just want to see.
While you're looking at that, Bart Scott from the NFL Today, former Ravens and Jets linebacker, was on our show on Thursday Night Live. He was actually in studio for anybody who did not see it. And we were talking about MVP. And I think you've mentioned this before, too. Bart Scott says that DeMarco Murray should be the NFL MVP because of his rushing ability, because what he's done for that defense by keeping them off the field, and because of what he's done for Tony Romo in that. A lot of short, down and distance situations, a lot of one-on-one matchups because you have to cheat up for the safeties to, you know, cover for the run. And it's a strong argument, you know, that Murray should be the MVP. But you can make an argument that Tony Romo should be the MVP too because of how well he's played, how he's managed his team, and just the things that
he's done. It's 2 halves of the season, honestly. It's like not
Murray's
even halves.
Murray's first half.
But yeah, Murray
was so awesome early.
Murray was a lot better than he's been lately, just – you know, and he was, I think, the MVP. But really, it's become Romo's. Romo's been better than Murray. Not to take anything away from Murray, but Romo got off to a slow start. Yeah. So Romo, right now, I don't know if these stats are updated, Jamie. I'm imagining they aren't. But he entered the game. I think they might be because Eli Manning right now is top 12 quarterback, number 12. So either going into the week or after the week, he entered as the number 11. He's the number 11 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Only one quarterback has thrown fewer passes than Tony Romo, and that's Russell Wilson. That makes sense. He's thrown 5 fewer. And not only that, Romo has 401. Aaron Rodgers has 498.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is well over 500.
Right.
Andrew Luck has 200 more pass attempts than Tony Romo. So, I mean, this guy throws probably less than 30 times a game, and he's amazingly efficient. So this has been by far his best season as a pro. And he entered the game with the 2nd-best passer rating in the NFL behind Aaron Rodgers. He's been amazing.
It's funny because the way I thought he was going to have to make his numbers was because his defense was going to be so bad.
And you thought they were going to throw,
right.
And give them credit for just knowing who they are, run the ball, use that offensive line, control the clock. They had 35 minutes of possession today, 35 and a half.
And
that's what they do.
He should light up the Redskins next week.
All right, so who scored? I think Toby Gerhardt and DeMarco Murray may have tied. They were really close. I know that was a tough decision for a lot of people. DeMarco Murray scored 11. Toby Gerhardt scored 11. Murray had five more yards.
There you go.
And Gerhardt had one more catch. So if you were in PPR, Gerhardt beat him by one.
You got lucky with Murray from the standpoint of they got up 14-0 early in the first quarter. And we were looking at it, and they took Murray out for a drive. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
He's not going to play.
He got 22 carries.
He got 22 carries and a touchdown. They did everything they could to get him a touchdown. I really think they wanted to get him Emmitt Smith's single-season record at home.
Did he get it? I don't think he did, right?
No, he's going to get it next week if he plays, which he should.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for our wrap-up here of Week 16. We told you who to pick up off waivers. Of course, we'll do that again on Tuesday with our full-blown waiver wire show. I know these podcasts, they might not be the most informative because what are we going to tell you? To sell high on someone at this point?
Right.
It's Week 16. You know your team. Hopefully you won. Hopefully you won. If you didn't, hopefully you're still playing in Week 17. If not, try FanDuel. And thank you so much.
We'll also have our playoff challenge, as usual.
Playoff challenge is awesome.
Yes.
Really fun.
We'll start talking about that on Tuesday. Like I said, we'll look ahead to some 2015 players, you know, first round at least, to discuss. And then I believe Tuesday is your Q&A with Dave, right?
Yes.
If anybody wants to ask you questions.
Yeah, I guess. Tweet Dave, at Dave Richard.
And so next week we'll do Tuesday, the three of us.
Yeah.
Wednesday and Friday will be me and Dave.
Okay.
And then we'll do another one of these Sunday, which will probably be a lot of loose.
Yeah, next Sunday's show is going to be... it's going to be fun.
And we'll also probably get into a lot more 2015 stuff, a lot of playoff challenge stuff, a lot more taking shots at you.
There you go. But let me say one more thing. As we go into Week 17, just because it's a rematch doesn't necessarily mean you can expect the same thing that we saw the first time the two teams met.
Like
Harry Douglas. You know, first time he played the Saints. I'm just saying... Well, the first time he played him, he did this. Doesn't necessarily mean the second time he played him.
I thought you meant somebody for next week. Harry Douglas basically had the same game. 6 for 60, 4 for 47.
I thought he had a huge game in week one.
He had 6 for 60-something.
Oh, I thought he went over 100. No?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, then.
No, but like, but I mean, well, game. It's interesting you bring that up because prior to Romo hurting his back, he was playing miserable against the Redskins.
Mm. And they played... The Redskins next week.
They play the Redskins next week.
He was, but you can't get away from him, right? I mean,
no.
Not against that pass defense.
I mean, look what Mark Sanchez just did.
Yeah.
He threw 50 times, though. If Romo throws 50 times, the Cowboys are in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, he might throw 6 touchdowns, but they're probably...
The one thing you got to worry about, now they're going to schedule it where the Cowboys game and the... I guess, did they win the division?
The Packers
game. Did they win the division game? They won the division today, right?
Yeah, they won. Right. Eagles are out. It would have to be the Packers. They're going to be at 1 o'clock with
the Lions. So the Packers-Lions game and the Eagles game will be at the same time.
As of now, they are scheduled for... You mean the Cowboys game?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're at 1. The 3-4 o'clock games are St. Louis-Seattle, Oakland-Denver, and Arizona-San Francisco. But Oakland-Denver is going to have to move, or New England is going to have to move. There's no way... No, I guess they could. I guess New England could play before Denver. I thought they were supposed to play at the same time. I don't really know. But, like, Denver, I don't think, could play before New England.
Well, it'll be determined tonight.
No, New England can't play before Denver.
No, it'll be determined tonight because if Denver wins, they're locked into the 2.
No, they can still get the 1.
I'm sorry. They'll be no worse than the 2.
They'll be no worse. Right?
Because the Pitt Steelers can't catch them if they win tonight.
They can't?
They have... 10 wins, right? Steelers?
Yes, you're right, because the Colts lost too.
And the Broncos will have 12.
Yes, the Broncos will be 12.
Now, if the Broncos lose, the Broncos and Steelers become more important, because New England would clinch.
Yes. Correct. But, here's where you're wrong, sir. If the Broncos lose tonight, they're 11-4. The Bengals are 10-4-1. So the Bengals would... jump into the picture for the 2 seed.
Ahead of the Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers are 10-5. If the Bengals win Monday, they're 10-4-1.
But the Steelers and Steelers and Bengals play each other.
Right, but what I'm saying is if the Bengals win this week, they beat the Broncos, and the Broncos lose next week, which they won't to Oakland, but if they do, and the Bengals beat the Steelers, the Bengals jump ahead of the Broncos.
Right, but my point would be is that the if the Broncos lose tonight, the Steelers-Bengals game and the Broncos game have to be at the same time.
If the Broncos win or lose.
The Broncos lose tonight.
Yeah, they would have to be at the same time.
Putting the Steelers and Bengals both in contention for the number two seed.
Oh, so you're so if Denver wins tonight, they're locked into the two to go back to
no
the
worse than the two.
Locked into right. They're getting a first round bye.
Right.
I keep saying tonight, tomorrow night.
But then it becomes them.
This has been great.
Them and the Patriots competing for the.
I feel like the Patriots and the Broncos would have to play at the same time.
If the Broncos win Monday night,
but I don't know. If the Broncos beat the Bengals, but I don't know how that works. Well, anyway,
ignorance everybody.
On display. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday, Jamie. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm Adam Azer. See you later.
Bye.